In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, here with the 373rd episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons are getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday at 1 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the NFC South title is sitting there for the taking. The Atlanta Falcons all they need to do is get on a roll here past Tampa Bay and hold off the Panthers and the Saints, who are one game behind at 4-8. Both of those teams, the Falcons are 5-7, and the Buccaneers are 5-6. So it's bunched together, sitting there for the taking. But up first, the Falcons will have to contend with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who won last night against the Matt Ryan-led Indianapolis Colts. So Sunday's game is important for the Falcons because despite losing at Washington last week, they're just a half game back with five games to play. The schedule is favorable if they could get some kind of momentum going here, because after the Steelers, they have their bye week. Then they will play the Saints, who are 4-8. We'll go to Baltimore to play the Ravens, who are 7-4 and really shaky. They just got beat by Jacksonville. And they'll host to close out the season the Arizona Cardinals, who are 4-8 and have a really bad kind of funky quarterback situation. And Tampa Bay will come into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They are currently 5-6 and about ready to run Coach Todd Bowles out of town for holding on to his timeouts up in Cleveland and then losing in overtime to the Browns last Sunday. So, it's despite all that's happened this year, the Falcons are supposed to just win two games, and they're playing with a salary cap situation that's nearly untenable, $77.4 million of dead cap space. Despite all of that, they are in the playoff hunt in a bad division year, and you might as well go on and try to do it. And the table set, it looks like, for them to, even withstanding the call and what we thought about the call on the 2-yard line, running the pistol and running the RPO play and then a pass, whatever, that's over with. They still have a shot. So let's go ahead and get into the Steelers here and Coach Arthur Smith. Before we move on forward, we're going to look back a little bit on the play call at the end of the game by Coach Arthur Smith. Here's what he had to say.
There's a lot that goes into it. You've been in those situations. If certainly your thought's different if a field goal wins it, right? You're down two, or even if you're down three, being risk adverse. And I say that meaning, like, you call a run, you score, you're going to have the same issue. You're happy you score a touchdown, but you're going to have to turn around and still have to defend. Right. You'd love to have it where you score a touchdown with 1 second, there, no time, and kick it and go home. And so when you're down six, you're going through the thought process. You call a run play, the first play. You lose 2 yards. Now you're 2nd and 4. Runs you like is also passes. So do you pass it on? Probably gonna have to have the pass in if you don't get it in at some point, whether it's 3rd or 4th down. And went with those are decisions you make. So you go with a decision right there to get them in. You're pretty confident in what you're gonna get. And we got it, but unfortunately they made a play. And so you live with that decision.
So that's, Coach explained it. I didn't get that. It still didn't make sense to me. He's mentioned about if you run the ball, they have a chance to come down and get a field goal. If you pass the ball, I don't know. You're on the 2-yard line. You're fighting for the 100 yards every day. I don't know why you pull the ball away from the 2-yard line when you're trying to, get it in the end zone scoring. You got 4 shots, so they don't have any timeouts. I don't understand the rationale calling those plays.
but maybe someone can explain that to me. It's kind of like in soccer when they don't attack the goal and they kick the ball back and kick it around and kick it around and kick it around. I fall asleep right then, and then they go attack the goal. But, you know, why you pull the ball away from where you're trying to go is they're going to have to explain that new age football to me at some point, because I never get that. You know, I'm running 3-4 quarterback sneaks to get the 2 yards. If, you know, I can't move them, then, you know, I'm just going to lose the game. So, but that's the last word on that. We're going to move on, get ready for the Steelers here. And maybe somebody can explain it. They haven't explained it since Daryl Bevel did the same thing in the Super Bowl, didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. You know, Russell threw the pass, it got picked off. I still don't understand that. So somebody's going to have to explain that new age football to me on how you don't power the ball in from 1 and 2 yards out. And I'm listening. I'll be willing. That may be a off-season seminar we need to hold at the combine. Throwing the ball on the 2 out of the pistol, 101. So, but let's move on. The offensive line, this was a big challenge. We talked about it last episode about how the Commanders, I did a good job. I caught myself. I got through the whole week without messing up. But how the Commanders have a good front. Jonathan Allen, De'Ron Payne. Of course, De'Ron winds up winning the game with a tip pass. But the Falcons moved the ball on these cats. They were running for 167 yards against the number 6 ranked run defense. They got another one coming up, but we'll get into that. But here's what Coach had to say on the offensive line and the running game continuing to improve.
You know, you go into that, and that is a good front. But we also feel like we're building something here up front in our mentality on the offensive line. And there isn't moral victories, but it does give you confidence week after week that these guys have stepped up, and no matter, and we've played some good fronts. I mean, it is the NFL and everybody's good, I got that, but we've played some of the better ones. I mean, I played San Fran. I know they didn't have Bosa, but that's a damn good front. And then yesterday, I mean, they were playing as well as anybody in the league. Low possession game. I thought we moved the line of scrimmage pretty well. I thought we had some really good pockets. Staying on track where, you know, they had the one sack on us. Tried to be aggressive, wasn't there. It wasn't like we initially, they collapsed it right away, and then obviously we took the sack.
All right, no question about it. The other, you know, they ran it pretty good on the Browns, beat them, but, you know, Myles Garrett was out, Taven Bryan and Jadeveon Clowney. So, but yeah, hey, the you know, you're number 4 in running, so that's pretty good. You can't, you know, shortchange them on that. And that's something you could build around. That doesn't go away. So, you know, the passing game is something that's got to work, whether it's Marcus or Desmond or C.J. Stroud. You know, you got to get the passing game up to par. I don't know if it's going to be C.J. Stroud if you're in the playoff hunt and picking that 15. You know, it might be the development of Ridder might be the key to where they're going here. Now, Kenny Pickett, you know, he was we did a lot about him last year leading up to the draft, you know, about his hand size and so forth. He was at the Senior Bowl, if I'm remembering that correctly. And you know, the college tape, yeah, him and Willis were down there. And we wanted to know how much college tape will the Falcons look at since he's a rookie in the NFL with just a few starts.
We certainly have, like all these guys, which is why I think it's important to, whether you take a guy, you don't skip steps in the offseason. You need to learn the league because, you know, again, you only have a certain number of picks, and you got to know who's coming in and what their strengths and weaknesses, and then you kind of see what they're doing as a pro. So it's not necessarily going back and looking at college tape. There's enough now where you got a good feeling, but you ought to certainly know what it looked like at University of Pittsburgh.
All right, so Kenny Pickett has, you know, he helped to defeat Matt Ryan and the Colts at home last night in Indy, 24-17 on Monday night. It's their second win in the past 3 games. Pickett, he played at Pitt. He was 20 of 28 for 174. He also had 6 rushes for 32 yards. And on the season, he's 175 of 265 passing for 1,600 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions. So, you know, they're figuring some things out up there with the rookie quarterback. He does have a tendency to hold on to the ball too long. He's been sacked 19 times in the past five games, including three by the Colts on Monday night. But he's learning how to take care of the ball. He hasn't had a turnover in the past three games. So he's starting to pay off that they're playing him as a rookie. Now, the rushing attack was led by Benny Snell. Snell, yeah, from Kentucky. he had led the Steelers with 62 yards, including touchdowns on 12 of his carries against the Colts. He was in there for Najee Harris, who left the game with an abdominal injury in the second quarter. So we'll watch that this weekend. And Jaylen Warren also didn't play because of injury. Harris had 35 yards on 10 carries before his injury. Pittsburgh ran it. They're like, it's going to be another game like Washington. It's the battle of running attacks with quarterbacks who are, you know, not passers. So they ran it for 172 against Matt Ryan and the guys, the Colts. And the Commanders got 176 on the Falcons last game. You know, just powering the ball at them with Brian Robinson. They got on a little roll there. So the Falcons going to see running games. I told y'all that three games ago once the Panthers ran it on them. If, you know, the other teams think they could run it, they're not going to bother passing. And that's what happened. And they tried to pass with Heinicke. He threw him a couple balls. Michael Walker got him one. So they just like, heck, we're going to run it. And that's what happened. And part of what happened in Landover, Maryland, North Englewood, Maryland, whatever we're calling it these days. So we're going to go to the break here, and we're going to come back, finish up with the Steelers. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song. A celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at ajc.com/hip-hop.
All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers will be coming to town, man, and, you know, they travel, even though this isn't one of their best teams. So, you know, I heard maybe 15,000 Steeler fans are going to be in the house. So if they start winning, that's usually when they take over. I remember a couple years back, it might have been a Steeler game, too, when Dirk Cutter told us he had to go to the silent count because the visitors were drowning them out. But that shouldn't be that case this year. The Falcons, they got you know, the Falcons fans have been pretty good and getting noisy. You know, they appreciate the spirit and the fire the team's playing with. And then they got that cheering section down on the left side of I just call it cheering section. Some people call them the fake fans, but you know, they're always just cheering nonstop. Even when they get Falcons might get stopped on third down, they're cheering and partying. So we're going to call that, like a spirit group. I guess in high school you can have a spirit group. I guess the NFL team can have a spirit group too. So, they look like it's kind of grown on me. I want to go down there and hang with them. They're always having a good time down there with umbrellas and beads and chains. And they show them on the problem is you don't know if that's the real fans or the cheer squad when they put them up on the screen. But the cheer squad, they do a good job down there. That's warmed up. The old guy's warming up to that. Top receivers here. Let's go. Y'all know one of them, George Pickens. He had 3 for 57 and a key two-point conversion Monday night. The rest of the group, Deontay Johnson, he has 56 catches for 505 and 0. Tight end, he's from Toledo. Pat Freiermuth from Penn State, 57 catches for 521 and 1. And Pickens is 36 catches for 510 and 2. And, we all know him from Georgia. I thought the Falcons could go big on linemen early and come back and get him. But I thought maybe, you know, the Falcons talk about ethos and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Pickens had a little baggage to carry into the draft. So they probably stayed away from it. Well, let's hear from AJ Terrell, Falcons cornerback. He back for two games after his hamstring injury. And Coach Smith, Arthur Smith, said, man, it's really good to see AJ out there on third downs. So he's going up against Kenny Pickett. They played one time in college in the ACC championship game. Clemson pounded them 42-10. AJ got a pick and had four tackles. So he talks a little bit about Pickett. And then just about being back on the defense and, being back in his leadership role. Here's Falcons cornerback, works legs high, A.J. Terrell.
Saying, said it was good to have A.J. out there on third downs.
Yeah.
So, how did it feel to, the second game back? Is everything kind of coming back for you?
Yeah, it's just glad to be out there. Mm-hmm. I know my presence means a lot for the defense and, just being out there and mm-hmm. Being able to compete down in, down out. Mm-hmm. Just be out there, be a vocal leader, just mm-hmm. presence out there, just mean a lot for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And this game, I guess, they got McLaurin, but they started running it a lot too,
yeah.
So kind of changed a little bit. But
yeah.
From when you're back there, when it's changing like that, how do you, stay on top of everything?
Well, at in the back end, there's no playoff. You mm-hmm. got to anticipate pass all the time. So mm-hmm. Just being on your 10 toes the whole time, just staying focused and locked in on the details and make sure you don't get lackadaisical out there and give up a play. So just playing pass first and then react to the run in the back end.
I know y'all got to do one game at a time.
Yep.
And everything and you got the late bye, which might be good.
Yep.
But y'all still are in the middle of everything. Coach is making a point of that. How do y'all players see that? Hey, yeah, it was a tough one, but
yep.
Let's get ready for
next. Yeah, just 1 week at a time. Just like I said before, just trying to go 1-0, win the games we're supposed to win, and just prepare, mm-hmm. Week in and week out to make sure that we get the job done. And, we're right in the hunt, mm-hmm. right where we, need to be. Mm-hmm. Just got to make that push for it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you watch the Steelers tonight? Or I know you got to do some homework on them during the
yeah.
week. Do y'all watch the TV scout a little bit? Or you got, some guys watch, some guys don't.
Yeah, I watch,
okay.
see who my opponents are and mm-hmm. try to get a jump on that and not pile my head up too much.
Okay, right.
But I, see who my matchups are,
mm-hmm.
see, stuff like that, just to pick up on when mm-hmm. we're leading up to practice.
And that rookie quarterback, you played against him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pickett. What's your book on him from
yeah.
Pitt days?
He a competitor,
mm-hmm.
He gonna try to make a play, and good talent quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Just gotta be detailed on, keep him in the pocket, and make him throw the ball.
All right, I'd like to check in with right guard Chris Lindstrom to get the pulse of the team, the pulse of the offense. He's always straightforward and always kind with his time. So big shout out to Chris. We wanted to talk with him about, hey, how tough that game was against Washington and how, we heard from some folks that was a really tough battle and they really respected what the Falcons did up there in the nation's capital. And Lindstrom was, we also asked about the quarterback because Marcus Mariota, he threw the interception to lose the game. But Lindstrom points out, hey, we wouldn't even be in that spot if it wasn't for Marcus. So here is Chris Lindstrom just checking in with him on some of the issues of the day as the Falcons get ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers.
When the dust settles, everything, y'all are still in the same spot.
Right.
A little bit. But how do y'all move forward after a tough one like that?
You just have to. You have to put it to bed, learn from the mistakes, take what you did well, and then just, we know it's a huge week for us coming up. And it's crazy to say, but we're already here at the home stretch of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So really trying to focus.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Martin Mayhew after the game. He was like, hey, that's a tough team. They really came at them. And so they're giving you, compliments and stuff about how tough that game was yesterday. Did you sense that, too, with with you know, how bad a win all day?
Yeah, it was definitely a physical game, and they're you know, a great front, and I think that's well known across the league that they're one of the best defenses. So it was a great challenge for us, and it was an exciting challenge to get out and trying to get after them. But those guys did a great job too. But it was a physical game.
Mm-hmm. And what do guys say to Marcus, who, you know, he's trying to win the game? Guy throws his arm up. You know, it's nothing, you know, you can do there. But how do you try to pick your guy up and move forward? After a tough one like that.
I mean, we love Marcus, and, you know, he was a huge reason why we were even in the game. Mm-hmm. And that play's not on him at all. It's it just happened. I mean, he's a great player, made a great play, and, you know, the ball tipped up in the air, and that's sometimes how it just goes. Mm-hmm. So you just got to credit them, for the defense, for making a play in a huge situation.
All right, now let's move on. We got a lot. I got a lot. You know, that's the problem on the midweek one. I got a lot of information. We're going to go over it. And I'm not going to ad-lib. I'll just stick to my notes here on this one. They open in 3-4. They run a 3-4 defense. Alex Highsmith's the leader with 10 sacks. He played at Charlotte with our guy Timmy Horn. He's the right outside linebacker. Y'all know Cam Hayward from Whitfield. And Peachtree Ridge, 4 sacks on the season for him. TJ Watt is back. Miles Jack leads the team with 53 solo tackles at inside linebacker. Secondary is anchored by Micah Fitzpatrick. He has 34 tackles at free safety. They move him around. Devin Bush, inside linebacker, has 33 tackles. Now, I found this interesting because I know Coach Tomlin will have the defense ready. Against the Colts, they jumped many of the underneath routes by the Colts receivers early in the game. They knew where Matt was going with the ball, so they just jumped it because, I mean, you know, there's tape out there. You watch 4 games, you know the plays. So they're route jumpers is what I got here. And they almost picked off Ryan's first pass, intercepted him on the second. And they held the Colts to 9 of – the Colts failed to convert on 9 of 12 third downs, including the one with the game on the line in the final minute. So, route jumpers, if I'm Dave Ragone and Charles London, I'm like, okay, double move him early with Zacchaeus, hit him up the sideline, double move him with Drake. If they're going to be jumping, you know, routes they think they know about on tape, you got to make them pay for that. All right, special teams. Presley Harvin is the punter, former Georgia Tech standout. He's averaging 41.3 net per punt. That hasn't had one block this year. So he's a steady punter. Good to see him. We were at his pro day over at Georgia Tech a couple years back. They did give up a big return against the Colts. Dallas Flowers, that's how the Colts got back in the game there. Flowers busted one up the middle for 89 yards. Got caught at, like, he was cutting back in and got tripped him. So he could have scored on that one. He took it from 8 yards deep. And so we know who likes to take it from 8 yards deep. That's Cordarrelle Patterson's got to be licking his chops saying, hey, maybe I could stick this record way out there now, take it to 10 against the Steelers. So the Falcons, I didn't find the last. We'll have it in the paper, in the Cover 9 blog, but the last win, because the Steelers have dominated this series. This will be the 18th meeting. The Steelers lead 14-2-1. And here's the tale of the tape, how they match up statistically. And it's a down year in Pittsburgh. It's an even matchup. They don't have. Only thing they do in the top 10 is the run defense, and that's 6. And that might be because the pass defense is so bad. We had a same kind of similar thing early in the season with the Falcons' run defense being in the top 10. That's because everybody could throw. They didn't bother running until Carolina started running on them, and they've dropped from 8th to 21st over these last couple games. So, but the Steelers, they do, they're stout. I mean, you got Cam Hayward and them up front, and you got Bush and Miles Jack making the tackles. You got Ty Smith and Watt on the edge. So I don't know why this defense is, I don't know what's happening up there. I got to call my man Ed Bouchette, but the defense looked like it should be better than these numbers. They're 24th in points allowed, 30th in yards, 367.7, 6 in against the run. That's their good thing they can do. And then 263.7, that's what they're giving up passes. So they're 30th. They're just behind the Falcons, who are 28. And so offensively, you know, playing a rookie is going to, you know, you're going to try to run the ball and help him out. He likes his tight end, so you know what's going to – you're not, they're not tricking you. It's not going to be anything bizarre the Steelers are going to try to do. They're 28th in points, 17.6, 28th in yards, 313.2, 21st in rushing, 113.5 per game, and 25th in passing, 119.5. The big note here about the offense is that the kid hadn't turned the ball over in the last three games. So, and they're going to run the ball. They're going to run it with Snell. Najee's hurt. They got to get Jalen back. But they're trying to run the ball, throw it to tight end, and then they might, you know, get it to Pickens or Deontay Johnson. So, I mean, they're in a place the Falcons are skipping, which is skipping on playing the rookie quarterback. They're just going to play him in practice and get him ready when he's ready and drop him in there and play. They're doing the on-the-job training versus the Falcons, who are doing the in-the-lab training. They got him in the lab working. And, you know, we'll see. You know, they both were the first and second quarterbacks taken. We're talking about Desmond Ridder. So that's the tail of the tape on this one. Falcons dropped from third to fourth in their net rushing, which is 160. That's their star quality. And they're going against Pittsburgh's strength again. But they did that last week against Baltimore, against Washington, and we're in the hunt to the end. The other factor to watch for this one, since it's the same, this is like the same two teams playing each other. Pittsburgh is +3 in turnover differential. You can probably go right to Fitzpatrick for the +3 because he's got 3 interceptions. They're 8th, and the Falcons are 22nd at -1 still. So that's what we have here in the tail of the tape. That's how these two teams match up. Series record. Looking forward to see Presley Harvin. And so, yeah, look for that route jumping thing early. If I know they're jumping routes, and you want to beat him with double moves, pretty sure Dave Ragone knows that too. So does Arthur Smith. Hey, so with that, we're going to get out of here. We're going to give a big shout out to our guy, Doug Roberson. He's going to be covering the team this week. We have a family leave situation with passing of my dad. And Doug's going to jump in here and handle everything for us on AJC.com. And look forward to getting back after the bye and get ready for that Saints week for you all. So we're going to ask you to take care, and you all have a great rest of your week.
I'm Ernie Suggs, race and culture reporter for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I'm Ned Ravone, lifestyle columnist. Atlanta has been known as the Black Mecca for so many years, but that means something different to everybody.
It means everything to me. I've been living here for 24 years, and I am still amazed at how rich the city's Black culture continues to grow. Every day I wake up, I learn something new.
Well, you all can learn something new by subscribing to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution's new newsletter called Unapologetically ATL. It's all about the people, the events, and the entertainment happening in Metro Atlanta that Black people might want to know about.
Like historically Black colleges and universities.
Atlanta's thriving arts scene.
And the city's growing neighborhoods.
Wherever you live, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what issues are important to you.
So subscribe today at www.ajc.com/unapologeticallyATL.
Only from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.